This is the Bigger Pockets Podcast, show 123.
Real estate has really provided me the means for a steady flow of income month after month.
You're listening to Bigger Pockets Radio, simplifying real estate for investors large and small. If you're here looking to learn about real estate investing without all the hype, you're in the right place. Stay tuned and be sure to join the millions of others who have benefited from BiggerPockets.com, your home for real estate investing online.
What's going on, everybody? This is Josh Dorkin, host of the Bigger Pockets Podcast, here with my co-host, Mr. Brandon Turner. What's going on, Brandon?
Not much. How are you?
I'm good. Doing well, man. Enjoying the spring. Enjoying the nice warm weather, though it snowed like 2 days ago. I heard that.
Like
60.
You guys had crazy weather, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy in Colorado. April is very unpredictable.
And you moved. That's a good thing.
Something like that. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Relocation.
Relocation is always good. Not like moved like physically. Hopefully you move more often than
I was. Yeah, I was relocated by the undercover.
Yeah, no, good. No, but that's exciting. You got a new house and moving up in the world. You know, look at you. Fancy.
Just moving around, man. Trying to make room for the kids and dogs and everything else that comes with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so, cool.
Yeah.
I helped a friend move yesterday. That's always a miserable experience.
Wow. Yeah. I tell my friends that I'm not your friend when it comes to moving. I don't move. I don't help people move and I don't ask people to help me move. So, you know.
I actually kind of liked it because I'm like, well, I need to like, you know, get some kind of exercise since I sit all day long. So at least when people ask me to move, help them move, I don't know. At least I'm doing something with my life.
Here's a quick story. My friend, Mr. Brian Volkweis, decided one day that we were going to do, you ever see those obstacle courses for grownups? You know, they have all these cool obstacle courses. They have TV shows about it where you go and you.
No idea.
You know, these in, you know what I'm talking about. They have these
this
cool
sounds awkward
obstacle and courses. Yeah, it's fun. You go through mud and like mutter runs and that kind of stuff.
Okay, so, yeah, sure.
Yeah, so he's like, oh, we're going to do this cool obstacle course. It's a secret. We're going to go check this out and like, you know, bring towels, bring bathing suit, bring, you know, all this stuff. And I'm like, all right, cool. So, you know, for weeks and weeks, he's hyping me up. and the day comes and he's like, all right, you know, he's going to come pick me up. So he picks me up. Yeah, 6 a.m. and we're driving and I'm like super excited about this whole thing. And, you know, I'm like, this is kind of a weird place. We're going into like a residential area. This is not really an obstacle course type of neighborhood. And I'm going. I don't say anything. And then we make a turn and I knew from his GPS that we were getting close. And we make a turn and I see a moving truck at the end of the block. Like a Ryder or Penske or something like that. And I was so pissed. It was an hour and 15, hour and 20 minutes from my house. He kidnapped me to go move a friend of his. So I didn't even know this guy. And I was kidnapped to go help this dude move.
That's funny.
Suffice to say, I was definitely pranked and I was definitely pissed off. So.
You never moved anybody again.
That was pretty much it.
Wow. Okay. Well, I got pizza out of the deal. You got hosed. So cool.
Definitely got hosed.
Yeah. Anyway, today's show. Let's get on with this. This is a cool show. A very unique show. I think people are going to hopefully get a lot out of this one. I did. I mean, I thought it was fascinating. So
yeah. I think it was great. Well, before we do, let's get to today's quick tip. All right, guys, quick tip. We send out emails regularly. I think it's every other week about people in your area. And we have this feature on Bigger Pockets. It's biggerpockets.com/meet. If you are a newer member of our site and have yet to connect with people, go to the Meet page, look at investors in your area and connect with them. Reach out, say, hey, what's up? I'm so-and-so. I'm in your area. This is what I do. Would love to link up. Simple. You just expanded your network. You just increased the likelihood that you're going to be successful as a real estate investor, period. It's that easy. The more people you connect with, the more people you network with, the greater your chance of success as a real estate investor. I promise it. So go out there, jump on the Meet page. And when we send you those emails about people in your area, just reach out to them and say, hey, that's today's quick tip.
There you go. Good job.
Awesome.
All right.
If you're in the landlord game, then you know the importance of solid tenant screening. That's where Rent Ready steps in. Now, Rent Ready's got an important new feature, proof of income verification. And get this, with Plaid certified reports, you'll see everything from income summaries to total earnings by month. Say goodbye to those gut check moments and hello to confidence in renting with Rent Ready. Rent Ready is included in your pro membership at Bigger Pockets. If you're not a pro, they're offering a 6-month plan for $1. You can't beat that. I actually don't even know how they make money doing that, but it's above my pay grade, pal. Visit rentready.com. That's RENTREDI.com and use the code BP Investor. That's BP like Bigger Pockets, investor like me, to get 6 months of Rent Ready for $1, which is crazy. Whenever I used to travel, I would get that creeping feeling that I locked my back door. How do I know my property is going to be safe while I'm away? But not anymore, thanks to SimpliSafe Home Security. I'm about to go on a 3-week trip to Copenhagen, but am I tripping about my trip? Nope. With award-winning security and peace of mind from SimpliSafe, I don't need to worry. SimpliSafe is a super amazing alarm system that I actually installed in my house myself personally in less than 30 minutes. And there's so much peace of mind knowing that there's something in place to protect my homes, my goods, and my John Mayer shrine. SimpliSafe systems have high-tech sensors that detect break-ins, fires, and floods, indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch night and day, 24/7 professional monitoring at less than $1 a day. Plus, SimpliSafe professional monitoring agents can even help stop crime in real time by speaking to intruders through the wireless indoor camera. Hey, bud, get out of here. It's like that, but it's a lot better, I imagine. And if you buy the system and you don't love it, you can get a full refund with SimpliSafe's 60-day money-back guarantee. SimpliSafe has given me and many of our listeners real peace of mind, and I want you to have it too. Right now, get 20% off of any new SimpliSafe system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplisafe.com/pockets. There's no safe like SimpliSafe. What's better than low money down? No money down. Now through Rent to Retirement, you can buy a brand new construction turnkey rental property for no money down. Wait, hold on. This can't be right. I need to double check with Zach, Rent to Retirement CEO.
Oh, hey, Rob.
Zach, how the heck are you selling turnkey rental properties for $0 down?
It's not that complicated, Rob. Rent to Retirement has new construction properties up to $20,000 below retail prices. We also have investor loans with rates as low as 3.99% and down payment options as low as 5% or sometimes even zero money down. You get all the cash flow, appreciation, and equity for as little as zero money down. That's an infinite return.
Hold on, wait, let me get on this before we tell it to the whole Bigger Pockets audience.
Just head to renttoretirement.com. That's renttoretirement.com or text REI to 33777. That's REI to 33777 to learn more about how you can get started investing with no money down today.
Get your next new construction property at a steep discount or invest with no money down. Head to renttoretirement.com today.
All right, guys. So today's show, like we said, is a little bit different, but certainly interesting. Our guest, Justin Escajeda. Justin is a real estate investor out of the Pittsburgh area. And Justin, he's had a life that hasn't been so easy. He's made some choices and decisions that, you know, probably weren't the best. And for, I believe he says, 20 years was doing things like drugs and other bad things and was, went down to, you know, he was homeless, right? I mean, yep. I believe walking down the yep. train tracks with a bag of all his belongings, yep. That was his life. Today, he's got rental property, storage units, mobile homes. He's looking to get into mobile home parks. I mean, he's doing really well, turned his life around. It's fascinating. Definitely an interesting story. So stay tuned and hear how, if Justin can do this, you too can. You have no excuse to say, I can't do it. There's no way I could be successful if Justin was able to do that. And, you know, very inspiring, very yeah. inspiring. And we're really happy to have the opportunity to share this with you guys. So with that, let's bring him on. Justin, welcome to the show. It's good to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. This is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So this show is a little bit different. I know very little about you. Usually I do quite a bit of research up front, but this time I know very little. I had Hillary do a lot of the research just because
Brandon
I've been lazy.
Was being lazy.
I've been lazy. So I kind of wanted to try it out. Like, what if I know nothing hardly about the guest? Like, let's see where the conversation goes. It's kind of my thought process. At least that's how I justify my laziness. So why don't you take us from the beginning? Who are you? Where'd you come from? How'd you get started with real estate?
Yeah, name's Justin. From Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Actually, I think I might be your first guest from Pittsburgh, to tell you the truth. I always listen. I always listen to your shows, and I never had. There was never anyone from Pittsburgh, but yeah, man.
Yeah, but nobody really likes Pittsburgh. So.
No, even from people from Pittsburgh don't. That's why we're all so miserable. Yeah, I don't know. I got started in real estate. I'd have to say about 7 years ago. However, my story kind of starts off prior to that. Always been an entrepreneur, always. I'd say since the fifth grade. But, you know, real estate was always attractive to me because, you know, I fell into the stereotype of seeing landlords and all they did was pick up rent, you know? Yeah. And I was like, oh, man, that's awesome.
That's all we do.
Yeah, we're like Scrooge McDuck. We go home and we swim in our gold vault of gold coins. Yeah. So, needless to say, I found out that was very false, very untrue.
That it is.
But yeah, I always started a lot of little businesses. Also, like unlike a lot of your guests, most of them were cash under the table.
Kind of nobody's listening, only 50,000 people and probably the IRS.
Well, hey, you know what, man, like you said, you know, Brandon wants to learn more about me, and you know, yep. if something I could say can inspire someone or help someone, you know, get them out of the rut they're in, I'm all for it, you know.
Nice.
Try to give back as much as I can, but yeah, like I said, I've always been into the quick dollar, any means necessary, any means possible, and real estate seemed to be a more legitimate one at the time when I first got into being a landlord. And, you know, I was just like, you know what? I'm gonna get a bunch of properties. I'm going to get 600 properties. I'm just going to walk around like Joe Pesci in the Super, and I'm not gonna do anything to any of my units. And, you know, I love the Super. I love that movie.
I've not seen that one.
Oh, you should.
Yeah. You are the Super, my friend. It is about the slum diddy dumb lord, and it is the slumlord of slumlords. Yeah, okay, it's a real cheesy.
I'll look on Netflix for that one.
Late 80s, early 90s movie.
Nice.
Yes, but it's good. You'd like it, believe me. But yeah, like I said, I'm still an entrepreneur, and I have still, you know, started a few businesses, legitimate businesses now. However, you know, real estate has really provided me the means for a steady flow of income month after month, you know, to help, you know, fund other projects, to make my businesses grow better.
Nice. So I got to ask, just because I'm sure people are wondering this too. You didn't like rob banks or something, right? Okay, to make sure.
No. I mean, anything from, you know, bootleg cigarettes, selling drugs.
Wow, so you came from a rough background.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but I came from the suburbs. You know what I mean? I was just naturally attracted to that lifestyle for some reason, even at a young age. But yeah, I mean, I just grew up with that mentality, and you know what? The people I was naturally attracted to, the bad kids, to the, you know what I mean? And that gravitated into, you know, a lot of nasty stuff. A lot of nasty stuff that I had to get over. Yeah. But I don't know, man. I mean, talking like probably like 15 to 20 years of just doing dirt, or sorry, doing illegal things, and you know, finally in the last 7 years I've been legitimate, and it's been very difficult to do things the correct way, by the book.
Yeah.
You know.
So how did you come to that realization that you need to, like, you know, stop living lifestyle? And,
yeah,
and
I became, you know, like I said, I became addicted to drugs, and my life was going down the toilet. I was homeless, no money, you know, all relationships totally shot. Drug of choice was heroin. So, and on a side note there, I will say that living in that lifestyle for so long, it actually has given me a great grasp on interviewing tenants. You know what I mean? Just things along that line.
How to look out for what I used to be, right?
Yeah. Wait. What did you say?
How to look out for guys who do what you used to do.
Yeah. Actually, the very first the very first woman I ever showed an apartment to, my first duplex, I showed her an apartment. She's walking around. She's like, oh, yeah, this looks really nice. And, of course, it was my first one, so I decked it out. And, you know, crown molding, trim, a lot of the things that I probably don't do now. But I just went above and beyond. She's walking around. She's like, can I use your bathroom? I said, yeah, no problem, you know. She's in the bathroom for like 10 minutes.
Yep.
And I'm going, oh, maybe she had to get a number two, whatever. But then I start hearing profuse vomiting. And she threw up all over the toilet, all over the floor, everything. And all she did was close the door. So I didn't know this until after the fact. I was like, are you all right? She's like, yeah, I was coming down with a bug. But then I happened to see her arms. She had track marks all up her arms, you know. So I was like, you know what, I'll be in touch.
Yeah.
And I wasn't in touch. So, needless to say, but I did have to clean up all her vomit all over the bathroom.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Actually, I could write a whole book on weird stuff like that, but, you know.
Someday. Okay.
Yeah. All right, so you're doing all this stuff. 7 years ago, something happens.
Yeah, I got clean.
So you got clean. Presumably, I mean, it sounds like you were broke. You know, you had nothing going on. How the hell do you go from a broke ex, you know, ex drug user slash whatever the heck you were doing that I probably don't want to know, criminal, to become, you know, a legitimate real estate investor and turn your entire existence around?
I guess I was, I got clean. I went to rehab, the halfway houses, the whole, did everything that was suggested, and you know, just came to the realization that I was living a terrible life and everything that I had previously known was wrong, you know, the way I thought. And I just built off of that. You know, I somewhat got my credit back in order. And I was living in this duplex. And the lady who was living in the duplex, she offered to sell me it, you know. And the other side of the duplex was totally trashed. And, you know, she's trying to sell me it. And that kind of got my, you know, it kind of got my wheels spinning about it. And long story short, you know, 3 months later, I bought another duplex.
You didn't buy the one that she offered you, but it made you think about it.
No, it was so trashed. Absolutely. And she wanted way too much. Even with zero real estate background at the time, I knew that was like, I don't think this is right. You know?
Yeah. So tell us about that first deal, that first duplex. Yeah. I mean, where'd you find it? How'd you finance it?
The first deal I got was in a low income neighborhood. I got an FHA loan for it and realized I didn't want to live in it after I bought it, you know, just because the neighborhood was terrible. And I ended up calling FHA, you know what I mean? And I'm like, hey, I don't want to live here, you know? They're like, well, you can't rent out both sides. I was like, okay, I won't. So I did it anyways, and then I felt bad about it. And then I was getting nervous. I was like, oh, man, what's going to happen? But then at the same time, I was like, they're still getting their money. Who cares, you know? And so, I refinanced. I got out of that. That duplex is actually, I bought that for $40,000, and that was just straight dumb luck, because that area is actually totally filled with all these shalers and frackers and pipeliners. So there's actually in that low income area of Pennsylvania, because it's right outside of Pittsburgh. But I mean, there's zero rentals. You can rent a $400 apartment for, you know, $900 a month. Wow. And so actually I do very well on that one. I strictly just kind of rent to the guys who are working on the pipelines and stuff, and they're never there. They work like 20 hours a day. Yep. They come there to sleep for 4 hours, and you know, their company pays the one unit's $900 I get, and the other unit's $950. So,
wow!
I mean,
what'd you pay for the property?
$40,000.
Holy smokes!
Yeah, love shot, right? So
that's serious right there.
Serious dumb luck. That's
Yeah. Wow.
We'll take it.
Well, right. And you know, on the FHA thing, obviously to everybody listening, you want to follow the rules and not, you know, say, I'm going to rent out both sides and not live there. That's not a good idea. Don't do stuff like that.
Not that I'm giving legal advice here at all, but what I've heard is that you have to have the intent of living there. If something drastically changes after you buy it, I mean, hear me out here. I'm not saying you should deceive the FHA. I'm just saying, like, they're not going to put a gun to your head if 6 months after you move into an FHA thing, they're not going to sue you if you have to move because you got married or because, you know, the neighborhood was bad or somebody broke into your house or whatever. I mean, it's not like they're going to sue you if you move out for legitimate reasons, but you have to have the intent of living there.
Yeah, that sounds a lot like the rationalization and justification I was doing whenever I thought I couldn't.
There you go. All right.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, so we've got this first property. You're feeling it. You're making. I don't want to do the math in my head. I can't really think right now, but you're making lots of percents on this thing, and you're into it. So, how does that next deal come together? What does it look like? And how do you, you know, where does your learning process go?
I didn't do a whole lot of learning after that first deal. I was just kind of like, "This is awesome. This is so easy," you know. And I looked in that neighborhood after that, and I bought two houses side by side from each other, two single families. They were dirt cheap, $2,500. I ended up getting them both for because the lady just couldn't hold on.
This wasn't Detroit. This is Pittsburgh.
No, this is Pittsburgh. Yeah,
Pittsburgh, the new Detroit.
Yeah, and that's not a compliment. This is just so everyone knows that wasn't a compliment. I bought those and I ended up sitting on them forever, not doing anything with them. And I ended up doing some other deals at the time with some partners. Two partners of mine, we bought some apartments and then we started a self-storage business. That kind of took up a lot of my time. And with those two houses, I ended up just getting rid of them with seller finance.
Okay, so maybe
to another investor.
Sure, why don't you explain what that exactly means for those people who have no idea what that means to get rid of them with seller finance?
Okay, so basically I was going on, you know, all the I was going to local RIA meetings. I was going on the Facebook blogging real estate sites in Pittsburgh. I was just saying, hey, you want to be a landlord? You know, I'll let you walk into this for $5,000. You know, you fix them up, pay me. You know, actually, I structured it pretty sweet. I said, you don't have to pay me anything for 6 months. And then after 6 months, you start paying me $300 a month, you know. But I need a down payment.
Sure.
So, okay. It worked out. You know, and that's a nice – in my opinion, if you want to be a landlord and you want to and you're starting off and you want to do the work, I mean, that's pretty. I don't know. I thought that was a pretty gravy deal.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan. I mean, I'm a huge fan of seller financing from both angles: selling as a seller financed and buying seller financed. You know, because if you're just starting out and you don't have a lot of experience, don't have a lot of money, something like that, like an investor who wants to sell you a property with seller financing. That's how I bought my 24 unit was with seller financing, and they didn't need a large down payment. They just needed a little one, and then they just needed, you know, they carried the financing, so I paid them every month instead of a bank, and it worked out great. I mean, they aren't real. I mean, they're not everywhere. They're not like the simple deals you just go get off the MLS. But if you can find them, it's a great win-win for both parties if you structure it right.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Sure.
Hey, really quick, on that $2,500, you said nobody had to pay anything for 6 months. You paid $2,500 for the two properties. Was there a down payment on that or no?
$3,000.
So $3,000, you don't pay me a dollar for 6 months, and 6 months later, you owe me $300 a month.
Nice. Got it. So then they could go in, do the work, fix it up, rent it out.
Would you do 5 years or 10 years on the note?
No. What did I do? I think it was like four, ended up being like 4.5 years, what it came down to. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So you went to that, and then you said you got into self-storage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I want to talk about that because we've never done a show on self-storage, and I know you do a little bit of that one. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, again, basic question for those people who don't even know what we're talking about. What do you mean self-storage?
Self-storage, AKA mini storage. You know, I think the most recognizable thing, if you ever seen the Storage Wars on TV.
Yep. I like the show, actually.
The roll up doors, you know, a bunch of units.
Yep. Okay, cool. So you bought a complex of them, I'm assuming, like a bunch of them?
No, actually, what I did was, actually, me and two partners of mine, we bought an old building. We bought an old building for $20,000, right on a main drag in a pretty populated area of Pittsburgh. And we gutted it, totally gutted it. Everything from the joists to the concrete in the basement, just everything. And then we just installed units, you know?
So how many units did you get in there?
What did we get in there? 35, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, 30.
$20,000. How much did it cost to rehab the property?
That's 60 grand.
So you're at 80 grand. You got 35 units. What is the average rent per unit on that?
$125.
$125.
We're at about 80, and we're at about 80% right now.
What standard is it? About 80, 75, 80, 90% full?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, if you talk to the storage gurus, they say you should never be 100% full, but only because you're supposed to be increasing your prices every month or every year. I'm sorry. However, I don't know. I'd rather just be 100% full.
Sure. Yeah. So you said they're averaging $120 a month.
$125 a month. Yeah.
Okay, so 125 times, let's say 35. Is that what you said? 35.
Mm-hmm.
You're at 43.75, and then take 80% of that. You got $3,500 a month in income on a $80,000 investment. That is a 4% deal.
And that's and I'll tell you what.
Wow.
What's great about that is I meet the tenants once.
Yep.
And get zero phone calls ever.
Yeah.
Because the way we made it was, we don't have like a person at the front gate or anything. You know, we just have a electronic key code access. You know, we have 24-hour surveillance. Everything's motion sensitive. They come and go as they please, and you know, we never have to bother with them.
That's awesome.
What do you do when somebody wants to rent a unit if you don't have somebody working?
That's the one that we have the phone numbers everywhere down there, and they just call for appointment only. Yeah,
got
that's the one time we meet them.
Got it. Every month,
and that's it.
That's beautiful. So yeah. I go, I rent, I've got a unit, I pay you guys, and hopefully I'm following your terms of use and not doing bad things in there. Presumably there are people doing bad things in there, because that's kind of what people like to do in those types of places sometimes, or so I hear. Brandon. And
why is he?
he's all red. I don't know why. He's all red.
I'm not embarrassed about it. I don't even know what they are.
No, I've rented them a few times, like for moves and things like that. So tell us about, like, you know, what is the eviction rate like for that type of property? What is the process like? You know, give us more information.
It's actually pretty pretty much in your favor as the owner. And I will say this, I'm a big fan of Storage Wars, the television show. And I always said, oh, it's going to be so cool when we have our first storage auction. And we did have our first storage auction actually last summer. Two 10 by 10s, packed full, all kinds of cool stuff, you know. I was like, man, are we going to make some money here, you know. And truth be told, the people on that show weren't at our storage auction, so we ended up getting $10 a piece per unit.
Wow!
So,
really?
And how much? Like, what do you think the units were worth? I'm just curious.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe $100 to be concerned. But regardless, I don't know. I guess I was just filled with years of watching that show.
Like, yeah.
Like, man, how much this one goes for $2,000, you know?
So is that the process? If you evict, you have to auction off the belongings?
Yeah, actually, what you have to do, you have to send, at least in our county, you have to send 3 certified letters within it's 15 days late, then you have to send your first certified letter. Then if they're another 5 days late, it's 2 more within 10 days. It's kind of confusing, but you have to have, they're all certified. And then what you do is you send them, they're on your third certified letter, say, you know, we're going to be putting this up for public auction. And they have 20 days from then to come and pay or claim it. Now, 10 days before the actual auction, you actually have to put, and I always thought this was weird, you actually have to put their name and the size of their units and where, obviously, the auction is going to be in the paper.
Oh,
so,
really?
Like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
so everyone knows.
I always thought, yeah, like,
that's a little weird.
Storage bills. Yeah. Oh, I should mention this. It's another awesome thing, too. After that second certified letter, we put a lock on their unit.
Oh, so, really? So they can't come back without paying you. They can't.
Interesting. Correct.
So I mean, self-storage seems really ideal. I mean, it really seems much, you know, you don't have to deal with tenants, really. You don't have to deal with toilets. You don't have to deal with any of that stuff. What is the downside? I mean, why isn't everybody in this industry?
The one downside, well, I'll tell you two downsides, and one from personal experience. When you start a new facility, and I suppose this is with any business that's in a brick and mortar area, people don't, you're not established. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We really didn't start getting a whole lot of tenants right off the bat. You know, I mean, I think we had like two tenants for the first like 6 months, you know, while being open. But I mean, what are you going to do?
You know?
But then, you know, through advertising and just people driving by, you know, a huge sign, you know, we started filling up, you know. I suppose the other downside would be, you know, you can't charge a whole lot for this, you know. So you're not making, I don't know. I mean, obviously, a lot of them at $100, for instance, you know, you're making a lot, but it's just, and they're popping up everywhere, too. I mean, everywhere you go, there's storage units, you know, out in the country, in the city. I see them everywhere. And you know what? The size of the units are getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. So competition's actually, in my opinion, getting a lot, you know, more fierce here.
And I've heard that from other people with self-storage, as they say it's very much like it runs in kind of boom bust cycles, a lot like real estate does, but it can get very severe because there'll be like 10 years of overbuilding in one area. You know, like it's like there's not enough storage. And so then a bunch of people start building and it takes a few years to build them and get them all rented out. And then all of a sudden there's way too much. And so supply and demand kicks in and the prices drop and there's, you know, 80% vacancy everywhere. And then, you know, then that lasts for 10 years and then back to the other way. And it's just this big curve that I've heard can happen in areas. And obviously there's ways to overcome that, and, you know, advertising and being better than the rest and, you know, being smarter than the next guy can help with that. But anyway, that's just what I've heard, but again, I've never gotten into it.
One tip, I will say this, if you are a storage unit operator, I would highly, highly suggest getting the bank account information for automatic withdrawal from your tenants, because it seems like your self-storage bill is kind of put on the wayside a little bit, much more so than rent or, you know, your electric bill. Even when you send them a bill, it's just slow paying, you know?
Yeah. Do you have a lot of issues with people paying late and stuff? Is that like a constant struggle to chase rent?
Yeah. No more than my, you know, apartment and, you know, house tenants. So,
well, it's the same people.
Yeah, basically. Yeah,
it's actually structure. So, yeah,
it's the same people. The
same kind of people. Yeah.
So, do you just have that one self storage, or have you gone and picked up other ones or built other ones?
We picked up another one this past fall, and it actually has a lot of. It's another kind of conformed commercial building. The units were actually already in them, so we inherited a bunch of tenants when we bought that. However, it also has office space connected to it too. So. It was actually a nice buy.
So you're you're a residential landlord. You're also a commercial landlord now and a self-storage guy. That's pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, like, it's kind of a very, diversified.
Diverse.
Yeah, that's cool.
How many units are in that next building?
The next, 17.
17 storage. And then what about office space?
Then it has like, I forget the square footage. Just I'd say, you know, we're rehabbing it right now, so it's not currently being rented the office space. But I always thought like it'd be nice for like a dentistry practice or something like that, or I don't know, watch a tattoo shop or go in there or something. I don't care. Nice. As long as they pay.
Yeah. There you go.
Listeners, I'm telling you right now, it's not every day you find a game changer like Rent Ready. They're not stopping with just tenant screening. They've rolled out proof of income verification. Let Rent Ready handle the heavy lifting with automatic checks on financial stability and earnings. Plus, with Plaid certified reports, you'll have all the info you need right at your fingertips. Rent Ready is included in your pro membership at Bigger Pockets. And if you're not a pro, they're offering the 6-month plan for just $1. How great of a deal is that? That's 1/8 of a Chipotle. That's pretty good. Visit rentready.com. That's rentredi.com and use the code BP Investor. That's BP, like Bigger Pockets, Investor, to get 6 months of Rent Ready for $1. Whenever I used to travel, I would get that creeping feeling, did I lock my back door? How do I know my property is going to be safe while I'm away? But not anymore, thanks to SimpliSafe Home Security. I'm about to go on a 3-week trip to Copenhagen, but am I tripping about my trip? Nope. With award-winning security and peace of mind from SimpliSafe, I don't need to worry. SimpliSafe is a super amazing alarm system that I actually installed in my house myself personally in less than 30 minutes. And there's so much peace of mind knowing that there's something in place to protect my homes, my goods, and my John Mayer shrine. SimpliSafe systems have high-tech sensors that detect break-ins, fires, and floods, indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch night and day, 24/7 professional monitoring at less than $1 a day. Plus, SimpliSafe professional monitoring agents can even help stop crime in real time by speaking to intruders through the wireless indoor camera. Hey, bud, get out of here. It's like that, but it's a lot better, I imagine. And if you buy the system and you don't love it, you can get a full refund with SimpliSafe's 60-day money-back guarantee. SimpliSafe has given me and many of our listeners real peace of mind, and I want you to have it too. Right now, get 20% off of any new SimpliSafe system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplisafe.com/pockets. There's no safe like SimpliSafe. You might think you want real estate, but that's not true. What you really want is passive income. With new investors struggling to find deals or get enough money to buy them and veteran landlords tired of the constant tenant phone calls, is there a better alternative? Actually, there is. Short notes from ConnectInvest. ConnectInvest is an online investing platform that allows you to easily participate in passive real estate investing, and all you need is $500 to start. Short notes collectively funds a diversified portfolio of commercial and residential real estate projects across acquisition, construction, and development phases. You'll earn a fixed monthly income without the hassle of owning or managing real estate. Head to connectinvest.com/BP to create your account. Fund your digital wallet with at least $500. Select from 6, 12, and 24-month short notes with annualized return rates up to 9%. Then sit back and let your monthly returns roll in. Join today by visiting connectinvest.com/VP. Connectinvest.com/VP. Passive income without the property headache? It's possible. There's a way to invest passively in real estate and get monthly income without any tenants, maintenance, or property management. The Wealthy have been doing this for years, and if you're an accredited or high net worth investor, you too can collect cash flow without the headaches that come from owning rentals. How? By investing in a private real estate fund with PPR Capital Management. PPR's co-founder Dave Van Horn wrote the book on real estate note investing for BP. But he's not just investing in notes. Dave and his team also have an extensive background in commercial real estate. And with PPR Capital Management, they're strategically investing in both notes and commercial real estate nationwide. With over $500 million in assets under management, PPR has provided individuals with a steady source of truly passive income since 2007 without ever missing a payment. Check them out at investwithppr.com. Again, if you're looking to get monthly passive income from an experienced team with a strong track record, go to investwithppr.com today.
So, all right. Did anything come between, you know, after the self-storage and then this next self-storage slash office? Were there other properties that you had picked up?
You know what? Actually, the last year and a half, I've been focusing a lot on mobile homes, picking mobile homes up, you know.
So why?
Why mobile homes?
Because you just get them for next to nothing, you know.
Well, tell us about that.
People, in my opinion, I've come across people, they change, you know, they'll change their mobile home and they can't move them because, as you may or may not know, I know you had that mobile home park guy, what was it, 4 or 5 episodes ago, I think.
Yeah, I think was that
it was an awesome episode.
I think it was Jefferson Lilly, right?
Yep. Yeah. Well, you know what, it costs, you know, anywhere from $2,000 to $3,000 to move one. Mm-hmm. So people don't want to move one, especially if they're paying for a new house. And basically, they just want to get out of it. So, I mean, a lot of times you can just negotiate getting a title for nothing.
So how do you find them? I mean, first of all, how many have you got now? What's your total number of mobile homes?
19.
Then? Ooh. Yeah. That's...
Now, are you buying the homes in a single park? Are you buying the homes on their own land? What exactly?
Mostly in parks. Mostly in parks, and I try to negotiate with the park owners. You know what I mean? Because what's in their benefit is going to be in my benefit too.
Got it. Sure. So you'll go and you'll pick up. You may own one home in this park, 5 in this park, 3 in another park.
Yep.
Got it.
Yep.
Got it.
And how are you finding them?
Craigslist or, you know, word of mouth in the park itself. You know what I mean? Tenants talk. That's all they do is talk.
Sure.
More so, you know, and they just call you up and. I've put a couple times the you know, I will buy your mobile home sign. I had two of those, and you know, just mostly word of mouth. I will say that.
Okay. So you've got these parks for close to nothing, it sounds like. What do you rent a park? Not a park. What do you rent a mobile home out for?
I actually only rent two of them, and I do $300 a month.
Okay. What do you do with the rest of them?
The other ones I sell on terms.
Okay, so it's kind of like that same strategy you did with the, mm-hmm. with the first $2,500 houses. Yeah, that when you said the first those two houses, I thought of like the mobile home thing, and we talked about that with John Fedgero back on. I don't remember which episode that was, but that was a while back. Man, we got so many episodes now, I can't keep them straight. But yeah, with John Fedger, we talked about that same strategy. You buy them probably for cash if you can, and then just turn on and sell them on contract to make that good return on your investment.
And for those people who don't know what the hell that means, what does that mean? I mean, so you're the bank again, right? Now you're
essentially, However, As you know, and you guys have talked about a lot before, the SAFE Act and the Dodd-Frank Act, and you know, I don't know, at least they're a little scary to me. So I went ahead and got a mortgage loan originator to make up all my notes. You know what I mean? So everything's legitimate, and you know, I'm not just conjuring them up on my PC and saying, you owe me this. So
yeah.
So, can you explain that? I mean, what was that process like? What do they do? What do you do?
The tenants, the tenant buyers?
No, I'm talking between you and the originator.
He does everything. His contract was, because I originally got one from my old lawyer, and it was basically a rent-to-own contract, which I don't know how updated it was. And then when I saw his, it was a lot more in detail, and I guess it is what's the word I'm looking for? It's Dodd-Frank friendly, pretty much. You know what I mean? It's that's what I'm paying for, so I'm legit. You know.
And for those people who don't know, like Dodd-Frank was a legislation that came out a few years ago from Dodd and Frank, who led it up, I guess, and
Barney Frank and Chris Dodd.
Yeah. So like it basically limits the amount that real estate investors can do seller financing to a degree. It says like you can only do so many, and before you do that, you have to do this, and you have to follow these 50 rules. And the way around it, of course, is what you said, is to use a loan originator or a mortgage originator or whatever.
Like so you're still the owner of you're the lender of record, but you don't do any of the paperwork. I mean, at the end of the day, they're the originator, you're the lender, and
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think some of the rules were like you could only do three in your name or any kind of entity per 12-month period. I don't know. I've never read it. I don't know anybody who has read it or actually.
Guess what? Dodd and Frank probably didn't read it either.
Well, actually, there's some people I've noticed I've read on the Bigger Pockets site. You know, there's some pretty in-depth, heated debates about it, actually. I've totally stayed out of them.
Yeah.
You know, I just read, you know. But there are some experts on your site, though, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I've gotten lost in reading those, like, you know, because eventually they just get so, like, I don't know. I read them and then I'm just like, I have no idea anymore. This is so over my head. I need a lawyer. And then I just
It's just like easier to pay a lawyer. Yeah,
I'm just going
to
pay someone else to do this the right way for me. That's smart.
So, Justin, so you've got these mobile homes and I understand you are looking to get into parks now, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. However, I've been looking for a park for the last, like, 7 or 8 months. Truth be told, they're not very easy to buy. There's so many factors especially with the infrastructure, the zoning, and what terrifies me the most about it is, and usually I'm not the type to overanalyze things, so I'm not afraid to pull the trigger on them, but the last one I almost bought, it had a septic system, and that just, it just terrified me, you know?
You don't want a puddle of poop on your property?
It wasn't so much that. It's when I called the county percolation department, they told me right off the bat, they said, we don't have to come out there, but we know it's not working correctly. And then they also said, it's probably going to cost you about this much to fix it. So I couldn't afford it, you know what I mean? I mean, you're looking at like, you know, $60,000, $70,000 right out of pocket because, you know, they're going to come down there right after you buy it. Yeah. Forget it, you know.
Makes sense.
But regardless, I mean, especially dealing with some of these old mom and pops owners who you know, they've these kids that have inherited the parks, or the parks have been in their family for so long. You know, I'll ask for a rent roll, and it's like, oh, he's paying $150, he's paying $200, I don't know what he's paying. You know what I mean? A lot that's very common. That's I've funny. Noticed. Or they're just making it up, like straight up lying. You know.
But, you know, I wonder, going back to your discussion earlier on how you created a self-storage out of commercial property, I wonder if it wouldn't be easier to try to, and you know, yeah, it was empty for a while, but I wonder if it wouldn't be easier to try to do the same thing with mobile home, like buy land, zone it for mobile home or whatever.
And I then don't just know. I've heard that's very difficult to rezone from mobile home parks.
Oh, really? Yeah. I have no idea.
At least in my area. I don't know, you know, about anywhere else.
Well, cool.
Gotcha.
I guess where do you see kind of a wrapping up question? Where do you see yourself going in the future? I mean, like what's your plan? Just more mobile home parks or just continue doing what you're already doing?
You know what? Well, right now I'm currently, in negotiations for like this 3-storefront, here in Pittsburgh with 2 apartments above it. I really like the multifamilies, particularly with, or I like the commercials with, some apartments above it. You know, I really like that. I do not see myself buying any more single families. I don't have anything against them, but I just don't, I don't know. They don't.
You hate them. They suck.
You hate them. Yeah. Basically, I don't want to say it, but yeah, they had experiences with them, you know.
Have you? Okay.
I should mention, you know, I also have a masonry restoration company. So that's my kind of main thing that I deal with on a day to day basis, you know, and I hope to grow that the best that I can, you know.
Cool. Gotcha.
Awesome. Well, hey, why don't we move on to the section of the show we call the fire round.
It's time for the fire round.
All right. The fire round. These questions come straight to you from the Bigger Pockets forums, which I know you occasionally hang out in, Justin, so you maybe have seen these before. So number one, somebody said this: I want to eventually invest in commercial real estate, like 30-plus unit apartments or mixed use, maybe office buildings, but I do not know where to start. Would it be a good idea for me to start by contacting an agent? Should that be my first step?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I bought one through an agent. I bought another one, you know, just through the owner. I think you're going to get a whole lot more flexibility through the owner. Maybe something more creative, or a seller finance, which is always very appealing to me. Yeah. However, I feel like at least the agents that I've dealt with, you know, when I've asked about things like that, they automatically shut it down. I don't know. I mean, The two commercial properties that I purchased were sitting vacant for so long, and I had been looking at them, so I knew that there wasn't a whole lot of interest in them. So at least there was a little bit of leverage. Actually, I got one. The one of them was we offered $40,000 like 3 years ago. They said no. We want. I think they were asking 65, and then you know this past fall it was still for sale. And we offered 40,000. They were like, all right. So you know what I mean. I don't know, but it's something I drove past all the time.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
That's funny.
Great. That's great. And I like that you said that you drove past it. I mean, that's a great way to find property. Is you know where you go, where you live, where you work, where you drive around. You know, keep an eye out, and it's a great way to find opportunities.
Yeah.
Well, you know, something, another good thing about, you know, like commercial property is something that I do a lot. I always advertise to other businesses for ad space, particularly like on the side of our buildings. We'll put up, you know, vinyl signs with their businesses on, you know, for like $7,500 a month. And, you know, it's just another way to create a couple extra bucks for, you know, every month, you know?
Nice. Cool. And do you need permits for that?
If it's a billboard, if it's protruding from the wall, but not if it's actually like a vinyl tap-conned right into the wall. You
interesting.
Don't need it.
And of course, obviously, you want to check your local laws on that. But
one of my local, like kind of like my mentor, good friend of mine out here, he's got a property out on like the main drag of just like this beach town area anyway. So, but you know, a lot of traffic goes on this road. So anyway, he sold just a sign, like 4x4 posts, vinyl side. Got permission from the city and everything. Like they didn't care. And he sells it for $250 a month or something like that, just on the front lawn of a rental property. And it's a huge lawn, so it's not like in the tenant's way. But it pays for all his lawn mowing, and it's for him going out there, and pays for a lot of his maintenance and stuff. Just sticking a sign up for some local like fishing company or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway, yeah, there's cool ways you can make a lot of extra money in real estate just if you get creative and think about it. So,
yeah.
All right, moving on.
All right, next question. Where do you find listings of self-storage locations you can purchase? So, is there a place to find self-storage units, or is there like a website where you can
buy them? You know what? I did a lot of calling places, kind of like older. You know, obviously, I'm not going to call Guardian Storage or any of the super big names, but like, you know, you see those old ones all over the place. I've been there for years, and it looks like they have zero upkeep. And I just straight up call and ask if they're looking to sell, and if they're not, write my number. Or I'll go in and leave my card, and you know,
yeah. Right on.
That's cool. I mean, it's the same way with any real estate. I mean, that's what's cool about self-storage is it's just a business like real estate. It's part of the real estate business. So you just same strategies that work for rental properties work for that. So very cool.
Yeah, yeah.
My turn.
Yes, just waiting.
I was like, come on, Josh, ask the question. All right. Let's see. I know you've done a little bit of wholesaling, right? We didn't talk about that today, but you've done a little wholesaling, right?
Yeah. I did 3 deals total.
Okay.
And then I was one of those people that they talk about, unlike the people who don't stick with it. I didn't stick with it. So
yeah.
It really is a time consuming thing. You know, people who think it's a quick buck, man, those wholesalers work hard.
Yep.
And it's a lot of work. And you know what? I had other things going on that I put on a higher priority list than that, you know.
Yeah.
So I can't just like say, hey, I'm going to be a wholesaler, like blank and have deals and make money on it. I mean, because that's what they tell you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if they did, I'd be a wholesaler. I wouldn't do anything else. You know?
There you go.
Yeah.
So. I know very, very few people who are full-time wholesalers. Yeah. I know very, very few.
And the ones
I think I know 2.
Yeah. The ones who are tend to move on to rehabbing anyway eventually and then landlording, because if you're really good at wholesaling, then you could just get the deals for yourself a lot of times. Like it's kind of a quick. But anyway, the question was in the forums was for the fire round here. Can you wholesale a mobile home the same as a regular property? Do you know that?
Yeah, I'm sure you can. However, wholesalers have approached me, but you know, like they say what they're, and basically it's a finder's fee, what they're asking for. And it's just not worth it to me to, you know, go on with the deal because, I mean, I got to put a certain amount, I don't know. I've done enough of them now to know how much it's going to cost me and what I like out of it. And, you know, if they're going to ask for, you know, $500 to $1,000 for the finder's fee, it's just, you know, keep it. I'm not going to pay it, you know?
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Last question for mobile homes. Is the maintenance more or less or the same as would be, say, a typical property, typical home?
No way. You can rehab a mobile home for definitely under $5,000, top to bottom. I know. Yes. I do. It's what you put into it too. Because I've seen people put granite countertops in mobile homes. I mean, you can do whatever you want. You know?
Yeah. But the expectation is probably not quite as high with the mobile homes. They don't expect granite usually in a mobile.
No, they don't.
There you go.
All right. Moving on. Let's wrap this thing up with the world famous.
Famous Four.
All right, the Famous Four. These questions we ask everyone every show, and we have for 118 shows or whatever it is we're at now. I don't know. We're probably much further than that because this is being recorded early. But anyway, so number one, what is your favorite real estate related book?
Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know what? It's by default because it's really the only real estate book I ever read. So.
Okay. Well,
there you go.
Okay.
Bam.
Easy.
There you go. All right. Business book. Is there any kind of business book that kind of, or you know, anything that you're reading or read or for business?
Millionaire Next Door. Blew my mind. I love that book. I think it's so informative, and you know what? It actually changed. It definitely changed the way I lived. You know what I mean? I really started to try to live below my means, and just. To the point where I try to buy 3-year-old cars now. You know what I mean? So it's an awesome book. Great read.
Yeah.
Nice. Awesome.
Cool.
And what about hobbies? What do you do for fun?
I like to just hang out with my kids. I'm a cross country dad, so I help them. You know, a lot of running. Also vaping too. I don't know if you guys ever, you know, what vaping is.
I don't even know what
like
that is.
E-cigarette, you know, like the big class. I know it's like kind of corny, but it's like my one vice, and it's like my friends build them and they got me into it. So now it's like, you know, see who can build the biggest or blow the biggest cloud. And I go to the,
I probably spend
way too much money on it, but it's just like something I do. It's
that's funny.
I actually haven't been, it's right here. I haven't been blowing on it this whole time, but you know, so.
Oh yeah. I did not even know. I mean, I knew
wrap
there was
it up so you can make a cloud.
Do they have like competitions for that?
That's
like,
what I wanted.
They do. They do. I wouldn't do that, but they do actually have. Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome. All right. Last question then. What do you believe sets apart successful real estate investors from those who fail, never get started, or give up?
I think people who think they don't deserve it, you know? I truly believe that I deserve success. I deserve, you know, basically be, you know, wealthy and I'm gonna work for it, you know? I'm gonna work every day if I have to, you know? Weekends, holidays, whatever, you know? At night, you know, I feel guilty watching TV at night sometimes, you know? Yeah. It's just stuff you can be doing.
Yep. Yeah. Me too.
Hey, Justin, I've got a last question, not part of the famous four here. You've got a very distinct story than that of a lot of the other people that we've had on the show. So, okay. you know your story, but I mean, you started, you know, you've did a lot of bad stuff, it sounds like, before and have had this full turnaround, and that's amazing and to be applauded for sure. So, you know, for those people who might be just down on their luck or might be making bad decisions, who, you know, might be listening and saying, hey, you know what, this sounds real cool, but I don't know how the hell to get anywhere. I mean, what would you tell those people who are just in a bad place, or they don't have a lot of money, or they're working a crap job, or whatever it is, no offense. Well, I won't mention any franchises by names, but you know, they're, you know, working a $8 an hour job and, you know, they're looking and dreaming and saying, man, I want to do this. What would you tell them? What advice would you give that person to kind of get the ball moving?
Keep the goal in mind, the end goal in mind, you know, never be satisfied. Feelings pass, man. They're just feelings, you know, they pass. If you were walking down the railroad tracks with a garbage bag full of clothes like me, and you're not at that point, then you have a huge leg up on than I did. So,
yeah. Wow. But what, and that's amazing. So what first steps, actual attainable, you know, actions would you give to them beyond mindset? Like, I want to buy my first house. I want to buy this. I want to do this. I want to flip. I want to wholesale. I want to buy self storage. I want to do anything. I want to get into real estate. What would you tell me to do?
Actually, you guys were just talking about this. Physically write it down. I don't know what happens when you actually physically take the pen to paper, but physically write down your goals. Yeah. You know, and I don't know. Just do it. You know what I mean? Just start doing one thing at a time. You know, inches every day, a little bit more. You know.
Yeah. Right on. Cool, man. Hey, where can people find out more about you?
Bigger Pockets, man. You know, and you know, BayMasonryRestoration.com. Facebook, you know, contact me for whatever, you know, message me, or if you just want to talk, not just about real estate, I don't care, you know.
So. Cool. Right on. All right.
It's been fun.
It has. We definitely appreciate it. It's a pretty cool story, and congrats on your personal turnaround. Congrats on the ongoing success. And we hope obviously that it continues going forward you know, rock on, man.
Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks for having me. It was awesome.
Awesome.
Appreciate it. For sure. A pleasure.
Well, thank you.
All right, Justin, thanks so much.
Hey, thanks, guys. I'll see you.
All right, guys. Good show. Thanks again to Justin. Again, really fascinating. You know, really happy to hear. You know, it's hard. You know, you hear about a guy who's just, you know, made some really bad decisions, and you want to go out and you want to judge him. And that's kind of a natural thing that people do.
During the show, I actually looked over. I was curious about what was it, the number of people like in America who are addicted to drugs or alcohol. And it's like, I think it said 11% of Americans are addicted. And then out of those 11%, only 11% of them ever get treatment for it. You know, like, I just thought that was like fascinating. And thinking 50,000 people listen to our show, you know, if those numbers were the same, you know, there's a good chance that there's 5,000 people listening right now to the show who are struggling with that kind of stuff.
And if you are.
Yeah.
Reach out and get some help.
Yeah. Because I mean, there's a light. I was going to say, like, there's definitely a light at the end of that tunnel. And like Justin's story kind of shows that there's ways, you know, out of that lifestyle. You don't have to be stuck in that and just wallowing in that mud forever. And I just think that, his story is really inspiring, kind of showing that that's possible.
Says the preacher.
There you go.
There you go. Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, there's Narcanon. There's all sorts of organizations. Definitely encourage if you're fighting or facing any of that, that you, you know, look into these organizations, and or if you know somebody who is, you know, help them out. But yeah. Anyway, so it's cool to see a guy like Justin who was able to work through it, and you know, who really reached the bottom and now is starting to do really well, and you know, we're proud to hear the story, and we're proud to share it with you guys. And so hopefully if it inspires one person to, you know, step up and make moves, you know, even if you're not in, you know, addicted or having other issues, we definitely encourage that, you know, you to get inspired. We encourage inspiration, right?
Very good. Yeah. Take action. And lastly, I'll say just leave a comment for Justin in the show notes if you haven't done that already. So you can probably get those at biggerpockets.com/show123. And so just go ahead and leave a message there. Just, you know, ask questions, leave comment, encouragement, whatever you can do. I know our guests really appreciate that. So
awesome. Awesome.
Cool.
All right.
Let's get out of here.
Well, thanks guys for listening. This is Bigger Pockets Podcast. You know, if you're not yet a member of our site, jump on biggerpockets.com, get involved, get active, make moves, and take little baby steps every day. If you're getting started, that's the way to make moves. So I'm Josh Dorkin, signing off.
You're listening to Bigger Pockets Radio, simplifying real estate for investors large and small. If you're here looking to learn about real estate investing without all the hype, you're in the right place. Be sure to join the millions of others who have benefited from BiggerPockets.com, your home for real estate investing online.
There's a reason small multifamily investing is so popular in the Bigger Pockets community. With just a 3.5% down payment, you can own up to 4 different units. Think about it. If you house hack and live in one of the units, you still have 3 different groups of tenants helping you pay down your mortgage every month, 4 kitchens and bathrooms you could renovate to increase your property value, 4 different Airbnbs, medium-term rentals, or other rental strategies that you can try in one property, all in just one transaction. Of course, the question is, where do you find a small multifamily property that you can actually afford? Which market and which deals are best for you? Once you close, how do you manage it, optimize it, keep scaling, and living your life without being tied down to 4 leaky toilets or 4 fussy tenants? All great questions, my friends. All to be answered in the upcoming Small Multifamily Bootcamp with Chris Lopez and Leka Devatha. So if you're serious about growing your portfolio with this highly efficient strategy, head to biggerpockets.com/4, F-O-U-R, today and join us in the Small Multifamily Bootcamp. See you there.
The content of this podcast is for informational purposes only.
Past performance is not indicative of future results, and all hosts and participant opinions are their own.
Investment in any asset, real estate included, involves risk. Use your best judgment and consult with qualified advisors before investing. Only risk capital you can afford to lose.
Bigger Pockets LLC disclaims all liability for direct, indirect, consequential, or other damages arising from reliance upon information presented in this podcast.